This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise BizBytes. I'm here together with
Arvini Viraj.
Yes, it's lovely to hear that voice. We're talking about coping with social anxiety at work. And of course, you know, Arvin is joining me from home. So he does have social anxiety and is refraining from coming from the office.
I decided to do this virtually. Yes.
And so that's why we thought it was really apt that Arvin should be joining us. Now, if you have any, you know, thoughts around this topic today, you know, you can get in touch with us via Twitter. That's at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. So, you know, after working from home for more than 2 years, companies are now trying to get everyone to return to the office. While some of us feel excited to finally see our colleagues in person again, some of our co-workers might feel extremely overwhelmed. They may feel self-conscious, have a difficult time talking to colleagues, clients and managers, or even sometimes skip lunch due to fear of interaction. How can we, the what is real, right? What is that, that statement, that line? The fear is real. Was that it? Is that it? Okay. So how can we help our colleagues with social anxiety? And we'll be speaking to John Pinto, Assistant Head of Counseling at Thoughtful World, to understand how to lend a hand to those in need of moral support.
Yeah, so the global estimate of the prevalence of anxiety disorders is 24.9% among adults. This would mean that more than 7 million Malaysians suffer from a type of anxiety disorder, and one of which is social anxiety.
This is huge.
It's huge. It's
24.9. That's a quarter of the population, right? So what is social anxiety essentially? And is it similar to anxiety, you know, that we know of, right? Beacon says anxiety is an emotion that occurs when people encounter possible threat, danger or uncertainty, and it affects physical responses, thinking processes, and a person's behavior. Social anxiety, on the other hand, refers to anxiety that is experienced in social situations, particularly related to fears of judgment, humiliation, and embarrassment. And while shyness and social anxiety are completely two different things, excessive shyness and self-consciousness is part of social anxiety too. And you know, and I know, Arf, you know, this even before pandemic, this was a concern for you.
This was before the pandemic. And I'm sure that number is also boosted up by the pandemic.
Yes, obviously.
It's sure that a lot of people have sort of felt that for themselves also because of the pandemic the last 2 years. Mm. So according to Chris Harley from Firsthand, people with social anxiety are incredibly conscious of how others might be reacting to and perceiving them, which can lead to a strong feeling of inferiority and imposter syndrome.
Right.
People with social anxiety may also find it very difficult to interact with anyone in the office, be it colleagues, clients or managers. And social anxiety can also make it hard to attend group functions, such as training sessions or team events. Oftentimes, it adds that social anxiety can be coupled with physical symptoms like blushing, trembling, sweating, increased heartbeat and dizziness, which obviously makes it a lot worse. While social anxiety can manifest at parties, networking events, on a date or at large gatherings, it's also highly common at work. So basically, work can be an anxiety-provoking stimulus in so many ways.
Right. You know, just your point about how people find it difficult to attend group functions like training sessions or team events. You know, when you ease them in with a holiday, with a company holiday.
More casual setting, right?
Then hint. Okay, so Varosh Williams, a clinical psychologist in San Juan, Puerto Rico, explains that because we're always being evaluated by others, we might get exposed to new situations. We're put on the spot, we're held responsible for our performance, there's pressure and want to perform well. And all of these are perfect combinations for social anxiety and panic to arise. Often we are exhausted and fatigued from work, which makes our nervous system easier to malfunction. I guess, you know, and get you more prone to getting COVID, right? So dealing in normal work anxiety was already challenging enough, but the added layer of social anxiety can impact your overall performance and increase your anxiety even more. So there are a few tips given by experts to those who are coping with social anxiety at work.
Yeah, so the first point they make is practice, don't wing it. So for anyone with work-related social anxiety, leading a meeting or speaking up on an important call with a client can be nerve-wracking. If you need to participate in big meetings and feel good about it, practice what you're going to say first. It completely changes the game. By practicing and prepping during the meeting, you'll be able to focus on your points and come across as being highly prepared, which can reduce the nervousness and fear that you feel.
The other one is try the rainbow exercise. So this is when you enter a room, people, Andrea Sidinja, a licensed marriage and family therapist, suggests looking for all the colors of the rainbow in the room. This is to give your brain a task to focus on instead of the anxiety that is creeping up. Huh. Okay, I hope it's not a
distraction.
Dull, yeah, I hope it's not a dull room. Tell your anxiety that you're putting it on hold while you look for red, orange, and yellow. And this lets anxiety know that you're in charge.
Nice. Give yourself a prep talk is also another thing that you can do. So Brian Wind, a clinical psychologist and chief clinical officer at Journey Pure, explained that pep talks are important as it can kick any negativity away. Instead of worrying about that big presentation, remind yourself that you're thoroughly prepared and know what you're talking about. Or if you're nervous about meeting new coworkers, remember that all you have to do is be yourself, because most of the time they are as nervous as you
right.
are. That's important. That's an important note. Pep talks let you hit the refresh button to any anxious thoughts.
Right. Okay. Now, we do have John Pinto, assistant head of counseling at Thoughtful World, to help us understand more about social anxiety. So maybe, you know, we'll get him to answer a couple of questions, right? You know, John, you know, what is social anxiety and what kind of symptoms can we look up for?
Yeah, at the core of it, it could perhaps be conceptualized as a fear that is based on a deeply rooted belief that something is and all has always been wrong with me. And if I'm not careful, people will find out and they will reject me. And I think it's almost taken for granted. You know, it's a cliche that as human beings, we are social animals. You know, we say that a lot. And we intrinsically fear not being accepted. And I think that although it's a cliche, I think it's actually true, because the irony with social anxiety is that people who experience this would choose to avoid people altogether where possible, to avoid social situations in order to not be rejected. So there is this excessive and almost irrational overestimation of other people's negative judgments towards them. So as for the symptoms itself, I would say, aside from the intentional avoidance of social situations, there's usually an anxiety response. This is somewhat almost physical, I would say. And you know what, it could also include, depending on the severity, it could include, like, you know, blushing, awkwardness, sometimes a bit more physical. There could be nausea, excessive sweating, trembling, shaking, difficulty in speaking, and you know, rapid heart rate, all the typical anxiety symptoms. But as for the psychological symptoms, I guess it's intense worrying about social situations. Sometimes people could worry for days or even for weeks. And then that leads to avoidance of such situations, especially to the extent that it interferes with personal and professional development. So think, you know, being absent from work because you want to avoid a meeting, let's say.
Right.
Or, you know, there's this intense worry about embarrassing yourself. And some, you know, this is the even worse part would be that some people might even resort to things like alcohol to deal with that anxiety. So yeah, that's essentially what social anxiety is roughly about.
Right. Are you blushing, Arvin?
Not yet.
You know, but you know what, he was talking about coping mechanism, right, and alcohol and things like that. So that's quite worrying as well.
Yeah. So, John, you know, what is the difference between social anxiety, general anxiety, and natural introversion?
All right. So this is a good question. I'm going to try and differentiate between general anxiety disorder and social anxiety disorder first. And I think that, you know, both are anxiety disorders, which means that they are characterized by persistent anxiety that is excessive or disproportionate to an actual situation, right? And I guess the main differentiator here is that generalized anxiety disorder or general anxiety disorder tends to happen because of a large number of triggers. So it could be almost anything could cause you anxiety. Whereas social anxiety disorder tends to be specific to social context and mainly involves the fear of negative evaluation by people. So people would evaluate me negatively. People would think of me as, you know, there's something wrong with me. And therefore, it creates an anxiety of the social situation itself, right? Whereas generalized anxiety could be a vast number of other factors could trigger it as well. Now, introversion is not a disorder. It's actually a personality trait. So an introvert doesn't necessarily experience anxiety or fear when in social situations, but it's more of an energy thing, right? So an introvert would usually be drained if there's too much social interaction because they have a lower energy threshold for social interaction. So which means that if I'm an introvert
and I've been exposed to social interactions the whole day. When I go home, I just want to be alone, right? And that's not because I'm anxious of the social situation, but it's simply because I'm overstimulated. I've had too much of it, right? So that's a personality trait. It's not a disorder. So that's important to understand here. So both general anxiety and social anxiety, these are anxiety disorders, which means that they are problems that can be addressed through interventions. Now, introversion itself is a personality trait. You can develop certain behaviors to, you know, I would say overcome the weaknesses of introversion as a personality trait, but introversion itself is not a problem, right? It can be, it's just a personality trait, essentially.
Right. All right, John, please stay on the line. John Pinto, Assistant Head of Counseling at Thoughtful World. We're going to ask you what can cause social anxiety in the workplace. That's happening right after this. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Banish feudal mentality. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes 3W together with Arvind Yuvaraj. We're talking about social anxiety and how to cope with that at work as people are coming back to the office. We've been speaking to John Pinto, Assistant Head of Counseling at Thoughtful World, licensed and registered counsellor with the Lembaga Council of Malaysia. He's still on the line. Just before we continue our conversation with him, I've got a comment here from 9039. It says on WhatsApp, I'm a fellow social anxiety sufferer. However, through the years, I realised Malaysia's collectivist culture plus hierarchical culture, especially work, largely contributes to feeling extremely self-conscious of you know, my own self-worth and opinions. The realizing that cultures vary across the world help me contextualize Malaysian norms and weed out what is my own anxiety from interpersonal toxicity. Interesting. Yeah. So, you know, if you get any comments, you know, you can tweet us, and that's at BFM Radio, or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. So, John, thanks for staying on the line. So we're talking about social anxiety, right? So what can cause social anxiety in the workplace?
Hey, that's a good question, in the workplace, right? And I think what we mean here is the situations that could potentially trigger social anxiety in the workplace. Now, if we conceptualize social anxiety as generally the fear of other people's negative evaluation, then almost any social situation in which there is a potential for negative evaluation or embarrassment, right, can be seen as a trigger. So the workplace, as you know, is full of such situations, ranging from a presentation or a meeting to even a one-on-one employee evaluation. All these things could trigger anxiety because there is a potential that someone might look at you and judge you and think that you're basically not good enough. But I think the workplace culture also plays a role here. I think it's very significant. I think this is something that, you know, we could all play a part in addressing. So if the general culture in the workplace itself is perceived as highly volatile and, you know, offensive in a personal sense, right, where corrective remarks are made to specific persons in front of everyone else, let's say, in an open meeting, I tell everyone that, you know, you're a problem and this is your fault. You know, these are environments that could probably worsen the situation. And it's actually not good for productivity even. So I think these are things that we could keep in mind. And so psychological safety in the workplace is key. People need to know that they will not be embarrassed or humiliated for coming up with an opinion or even making a mistake. Now, this does not mean that mistakes go uncorrected. You know, if somebody has made a mistake, you would always want to give them proper feedback so that they would improve. But the purpose of feedback is to get them to improve and not to humiliate them or embarrass them, you know, make them regret the fact that they even did the job in the first place or even voiced out their opinion to begin with. So I think that's important. It's important to create workplace environments that are psychologically safe so that people are able to express themselves. And this would also result in an increase in diversity, basically, of opinion and of the way people do things. And this is going to impact the productivity of the workplace positively. And it would also definitely reduce fears of that are common to people with social anxiety.
Right. So how does social anxiety affect a person's work performance?
Well, aside from the anxiety-related symptoms, which we talked about earlier, which can also affect a person's general lifestyle performance, I think people with unmanaged social anxiety may often find themselves avoiding or withdrawing from social situations at work. And these situations are usually ones that are crucial to getting the job done. And so this could generally also involve problems developing relationship with co-workers, let's say, or a general lack of confidence. And all these things are definitely going to affect the way a person performs at work, right? Especially if it goes unmanaged or if it's not acknowledged even. But I think the interesting thing about social anxiety is that it consists of an element of excessive self-monitoring, you know, which means that the person becomes too focused on how they are being perceived. Right. So they become focused on their movements, on the things that they say during a social situation, let's say, and they become hyper-focused on themselves in that sense, right? And this excessive focus on the self would lead not only to anxiety, but a reduced focus on the task at hand within a social situation.
Right.
So let's say if I'm in a meeting and I have social anxiety, I would be more worried about how I am being perceived instead of the contents of the meeting itself, right? So people will be actually talking about something, but all I could think about is, am I being judged? Am I saying the right things? What is this person thinking of me? What's the boss thinking of me? And this would be really distracting, you know, and all these things put together and you have a recipe for a really unfortunate, disastrous work performance, I would say. And so if you notice these things happening to you, perhaps it's about time you speak to someone who can help. Or at least, you know, it's important for you to acknowledge the problem and maybe do some reading about the situation so that you can take some self-help measures even. Yeah, so I think that's really crucial there.
Right. You know, John, if you know a coworker who deals with social anxiety, what can we do to help them?
Well, I think depending on the level of your rapport or the closeness of your relationship with them, you may want to encourage them to take minor steps in facing the fears, that's one. But also, you know, where necessary, to speak to a professional, right? When someone discloses social anxiety, the most common response is to accommodate them. You know, there's an urge to be a protector. We want to give them permission, let's say if they are afraid to go for a conference, we want to give them permission to stay home. You can always opt out of the training. You know, I understand that you're feeling anxious and all that. And honestly, I think that is the wrong way to go about it. Yeah, because it's actually not encouraging the person to deal with the issue. It's not helping them in the long run, let's say. Ideally, it should be somewhat the other way around. We don't push them, of course. Again, this is a very case-to-case thing. But I think the general predisposition should be to encourage them to slowly but surely and at their own pace face the things that bring them fear. And they need to be encouraged to do this one tiny step at a time. Yeah. And the other thing we can do is to set clear roles and expectations. Now, structure is very, very helpful when we're dealing with anxiety in general, right? Because anxiety is a problem of uncertainty and structure reduces uncertainty. So sometimes for people with anxiety, winging it, you know, just doing it as you go, improvising, these things can be very daunting and paralyzing to them. So instead, what we can do is help them capitalize on their strengths and let them excel in a more structured role. So we set the expectations clearly on what they're supposed to be dealing with and then help them to meet those expectations according to a certain structure, right? So social anxiety also, it's important to note that it may often be bundled up with perfectionism. So if you struggle with this, you are likely to spend an inordinate amount of time polishing up your work before submitting it, let's say. So what we want to do in these instances is to set the expectation, right? So for example, if it's going to be writing a simple weekly report, you only take 15 to 20 minutes. And once your time is up, you just send it without being too afraid of how perfect your work is, because the fact is nobody's work is perfect. Yeah. And lastly, it's also important for us to remind, especially those people who are working with us, how much we value them. They're already very self-critical. It's important for us to assure them that, look, whatever you're doing, it's of value to me and it's of value to the company and the cause that we are ultimately serving.
Mm-hmm. So, and what should we not do in that case?
Well, I briefly spoke about this as well, but, you know, to elaborate on it. So the one thing not to do is to encourage escape. But of course, occasionally, you know, a break may be warranted and that's fine. But generally, reducing the task is a better option than removing the task, right? So doing it piece by piece is much better than not doing it at all. So yes, don't encourage people to run away from the fear. Second thing not to do, I think, when giving feedback as much as possible, I think this is common sense, but unfortunately, it may not be common practice, you know. And it's to ensure that the feedback is clearly focused on the task and not on the person, right? So never make remarks about the person. And sarcastic remarks or off-the-cuff remarks are not really feedback, and they may not really be very helpful. So that's something not to do with people whom you suspect may be struggling with social anxiety. And where possible, doing it on a one-on-one setting might be helpful. Lastly, it's also important not to be quick to advise people. And I think that's another thing not to do. And where possible, don't tell people who are struggling that you quote-unquote understand what they're going through, because chances are you don't. Right. Unless, of course, you struggle from social anxiety yourself. And it is okay if you don't understand. That's the thing, you know. Empathy is not really about you having to understand everything in detail. It's really about being able to convey that you are there with the person, right? So a more empathic and compassionate thing to say would be, I really cannot imagine how difficult this must be for you, and I'm here to support however I can. Yeah. So feel free to reach out to me if you need to talk. That's a useful thing to say.
Right.
Now, I think that is much more helpful. It's helpful to leave the door open for conversations instead of being quick to prescribe advice, you know. And perhaps what people with social anxiety need most is to learn how to navigate social situations in an environment that is constructed to be safe, where they know they won't be judged. And maybe by inviting them to talk to you, maybe you can create that environment. So maybe your interactions with them can provide that environment of safety, if you are willing, of course, to take the time to listen instead of prescribing advice or telling them what they should be doing. Listening should always take precedence over that.
Right. So don't be the expert, right? I mean, interesting point. John, last question. If you see someone in a leadership position with social anxiety, how do you navigate that?
No, I think this is another good question. Now, as a leader, there is obviously a higher level of responsibility that comes together with, you know, greater expectations, right? And I think the first step is to always acknowledge that you have a problem, right? And then you got to be clear to yourself about how this problem is really affecting you. So if possible, what I encourage my clients to do is to write down what they think is the problem and how it is possibly affecting them. You don't have to know exactly all the theory and how, you know, how it's exactly affecting you. But if you start writing it down as descriptively as possible, usually you're able to identify the problem as clearly as you can, right? And then take small steps towards addressing them. You can also focus on the difference between what is the truth and what your mind is pushing you to believe. So for instance, if let's say, you know, you're not getting a call back from a potential client, it might be because they're not ready to call you. And it's probably got nothing to do with your skills, right? Get in the habit of noticing the distinctions between what are the facts and what are your beliefs about the facts. I also think it's crucial that you take small steps in changing the habits of avoidance, especially pertinent if you're a leader, because as a leader, I think you should be the one to take the first step to slowly stop avoiding things, right? And instead try to face social situations and reevaluate your successes after each situation you've encountered. And at the same time, it's also important not to be too hard on yourself. And if you don't seem to be making any progress, this is especially even more relevant. Even the smallest step towards facing your fears is to be celebrated. And I think being compassionate to yourself also helps you create an environment that is more conducive to others, especially so if you're a leader, because as a leader, there would be others looking up to you. And you know, this is a terrible thing to say, because in my mind, I'm also aware that this is probably going to increase your fear of being evaluated negatively. But it's important to take responsibility in some sense, but remember that the primary responsibility is towards yourself. And I think lastly, it is also important to know that you likely have a greater opportunity in addressing the systemic issues in the workplace that creates and maintains social anxiety. And so perhaps you can use your position to improve psychological safety at work. Create an environment in which people like yourself, in this case, would feel safe to raise concerns, opinions, and even make mistakes, knowing that while mistakes may be corrected, people need not be attacked for them.
Right. Thank you so much. And that was John Pinto, Assistant Head of Counselling at Thoughtful World, licensed and registered counsellor with the Lembaga Counsellor Malaysia. Of course, we're talking about social anxiety. It's very interesting, right? I mean, when you talk about close to 25% of the population suffering from social anxiety. I've got here a comment here from Julian. He says, as I'm listening to this social anxiety segment, I'm wondering, when do people become so fragile that they can't function properly, if there's even a possibility that they'll experience a little criticism or judgment, right? And I'm hearing that, and I kind of get it, right? And I'm just wondering as well, I'm just going to be very frank, whether it's a generational thing, like from the 25%, if we were to analyze it further, you know, what age category that it come from, you know? So, you know, I'm from a different generation where, you know, I'm just saying this, not knowing the depth of that survey. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's also that fine line as well. And we tend to say, well, you know, the mental health or whatever. But I'm also thinking, like, with social media, sometimes, right, when we're looking at social media comparisons and that sort of thing, that has also brought about these sort of fears. Yeah.
I mean, I'm also wondering, like, you know, was it really that back then people were not struggling with mental health issues, or was it just like a lack of awareness towards mental health issues? Because these things were not spoken about
right?
And they were not given priority at the workplace.
Right.
But so, nowadays, it's highlighted. So more people are coming up and saying that, yeah, you know, I have mental health issues. I deal with anxiety. So it's more out there, and we're discussing it more, like we're doing now on this show.
Right. And it's true, right? Because maybe back then there were a lot of people who were suffering from it, we just didn't talk about it, right? It wasn't, you know, like, we don't talk about mental health, right? So I get it, right? So I think this is one thing that just interesting from the survey, regardless if 25% of the population suffering from social anxiety is something to be discussed. Anyway, thanks for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow for more on Enterprise Biz Bites. Of course, you've been listening to Free Allure together with Arvind Yuvaraj. This is BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bites was presented by Allianz Malaysia, empowering businesses to build confidence in tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.